Welcome back to the Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Big Mike here with you with a very special bonus real deal. And we are talking about the upcoming movie Dungeons & Dragons, Honor Among Thieves. We had the opportunity to see a super advanced screening of the movie. The movie comes out on March 31st. So we had the opportunity to see it early and thought since we had this cursed knowledge that we would share it with our audience here on the internet. And we had a great time at the movies, and we do want to thank our friends from Allied Global Marketing for inviting us out. Always love kicking it with those nice folks. But rather than talking about this by myself in a vacuum in a booth by myself, I asked a good friend of mine. You've heard him on many of the commercials here on KVI. I think the last time he joined us here in studio was when we were talking about Andor months ago, but making his return to the Ari Hoffman Show, it's Sean, the production guy. How you doing?
Feeling excellent, man. And, you know, this is one of those things you want to do it with friends.
Absolutely.
Much like Dungeons and Dragons.
See, I like that.
Hard to do alone.
So as we're celebrating friendship here, let's talk about the movie a little bit, because like this is a movie that, I'll be honest, really wasn't on my radar. I'm not necessarily a D&D kid. I'm more of a science fiction comic book type of thing. I'm not necessarily a huge fantasy guy. So when we got the invitation to come out to the movie from our friends over at Allied, I was like, I felt kind of lukewarm about it. My friend Sean, on the other hand, was anything but lukewarm about it and was very, very eager for the opportunity. So in his enthusiasm made me enthusiastic. And I got to say, just right up top, had a great time at the movies.
Yeah, man. Just a fun, great popcorn movie. With lots of laughs and mm-hmm. great vivid characters, you know, a fun adventure. I don't know if you could really ask for a lot more out of something like Dungeons and Dragons, which is not particularly, serious.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. And so, like for me, to the thing I like to start with is, you know, we go to see the movie, right?
Yeah.
And part of the ritual of going to some of these advanced screenings, these press screenings. In fact, the screening we saw was a press only screening. So it's like we had like extra media privileges on that one. But part of the experience and the ritual is talking to the nice ladies with the clipboards after we get out. And the first thing I told them was like, it's surprisingly fun. Had a really great time with it. Great time at the movies. But then I was like, well, I cede the rest of my time to the senator from Naboo. The real Dungeons and Dragons fan, my buddy Sean. So I thought to kind of start off before we kind of pick some of this apart and go freewheeling a little bit. Could you talk a little bit about what you told the nice lady from Allied? What kind of like your first scorching hottest takes were right out the door?
Well, first I said I absolutely loved it, and that it was full of great fan service, and it embodied that spirit of Dungeons and Dragons, mm-hmm. which is like just having fun with your friends.
Yeah,
and it really is just it's one of those things that you want to see with multiple people, and we saw it in kind of a limited. You know, a limited showing, right?
Right, like, right. Yeah, because it was just press only. We didn't even really have, like, the crowd of civilians, like regular people, to kind of feed off the energy. But even with being just like us media press people, you could tell which jokes hit.
Yeah.
So, like, there was a lot of audible chuckles and some palpable energy in the room, I would
even
say.
Even for some of the jaded movie-going elite.
Yeah.
You know, like the folks that have been around the block, you know, they see the twists and turns coming. They're familiar with, you know, how a story is executed.
Mm-hmm.
There still was just so much great humor in it that it kept you going along through the story and keeping up with the story because you actually wanted to. And right. The characters were fun and and good enough that you cared about wanting to see them succeed. You know, too often we get characters that are like, you know, I don't know if I would even like this person if I was around them in general, but it's like, despite their dastardly things that they would go and do, they were still likable. All of them were still, you know, you could tell that they had good hearts.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is something that you don't find enough these days in stories and in characters.
Yeah, absolutely. I at a time where we're seeing superhero movies getting progressively darker and more violent and more bleak, that seems to be entertainment that folks are into. This was actually refreshing in that, like, it's bright, it's well lit, and the cast is a lot of fun. And it's nice to root for characters that are kind of good people. You know, it's honor among thieves, but it's, you know, so it's these characters, they're kind of like on the fringe of morality, but at the end of the day, they're good people that do the right thing. And,
yeah, and they operate in a world where everyone is sort of doing this, you know, kind of light backstabbing and it's sort of free form. You know, there are rules that are loosely followed, you know, within, you know, you enforce the king's justice or whatever, or the ruler's justice, or wherever the law of the land is. But there's not cops on every corner. You know, there's not guards on every corner making sure everyone's doing what they're supposed to all the time. There's just kind of an element of like kind of wild, wild west going on within this world, too. So, like, you know, everybody else is kind of scheming and stealing and things like that. So you kind of forgive the main character some of their transgressions. And part of it is the adventure. That's just part of the adventure of Dungeons and Dragons, is like going into the dungeon, raiding for treasure, you know, trying to find that unobtainable thing that you're looking for.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, like, you know, I've played Dungeons and Dragons a couple times. I could probably count them on one hand. Sure. And it's a fun experience, but the thing that struck me is that this movie, the story of the movie, kind of plays out as if kind of like a D&D campaign would. Like, you know, like there are things that happen along the way that would kind of happen in a Dungeons and Dragons adventure, which I thought was kind of neat and kind of fun, because like there are some like non-traditional story structure elements that kind of happen as this adventure unfolds. It's like, wow, this is getting kind of item questy, and it's kind of like, you know, like some of those episodes of Mandalorian where we're a little more critical of it, because, oh, you got to go see a guy to get a thing to go to the next place to find another guy for another thing. There's a lot of this in this movie, but like within this narrative structure, I think it works pretty well, because that's kind of what I would think would be accurate to the game playing experience.
Yeah, and there were parts of it too where you didn't know if people were necessarily going to survive.
Sure.
For instance, like there's a scene where one character goes in and they're in pretty deep into this sort of stronghold area, and then they have to escape from it. And it's like there's a really cool series of shots that goes with it, but the whole time I'm like, wow, is this character even going to make it out, or are they going to get almost to the finish line and then squashed by something, or take an arrow to the knee and you're done, or to quote a meme, or, you know, are they going to be thwarted, and then people are going to be like, oh my God, now, you know, now we're down this character too.
Right.
Like, there were still times where I was guessing whether or not a person was going to make it. And that's not something that I see all the time.
Right.
And so it still had that predictable unpredictability that you like to see in a movie. Like, you want to see them succeed. You have a feeling that they will, but you just don't know if they're gonna.
Yeah. I mean, because really this, you know, we talk a lot about comic book movies and, you know, video game IP things. I mean, it's all based on intellectual property. In this case, the intellectual property is Dungeons and Dragons, not necessarily these individual named characters. So that leads a extra bit of risk and danger that you wouldn't have in, say, like the Avengers or something like that, where it's like, yeah, well, you know, they're not going to kill Captain America off.
Yeah, that's
you know?
What I was just thinking, too.
You know, that kind of thing. So there's a certain amount of plot armor that comes with some of those bigger marquee comic book characters that isn't necessarily afforded to Chris Pine and his friends.
Yeah, you know that Thor's not going to take a dirt nap in Thor 2 because he's contracted for two other movies down the line.
Right, but on the other hand, like old Justice Smith might take the pass, you know, that kind of thing. You know, it's like no, there's a lot of times where there's some mild peril. And you know, there are times it's like, oh man, how are they going to get out of this? But the thing I wanted to ask you, you know, as we're getting like, you know, kind of sort of deeper into, you know, kind of like the structure and mechanics of the movie. So I'm a fan of fun movies.
Sure.
And Sean, you're a fan of, Dungeons and Dragons as like a concept and stuff like that. And both of us had a really good time. So my question for us to discuss here is, who is this movie for?
I think the amount of fan service that's in it indicates that it's firmly for, it caters very well to fans.
Mm-hmm.
But the amount of fun and humor and not necessarily, like, you don't have to lean on the fan service in this one to be able to understand all the things that are going on, because I think they do a good enough job of showing you the mechanics of like how like the mimic box works, for instance, which
right.
is like the treasure chest that could eat somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Like they come around the corner at one point and you see this in the trailer.
Yeah, it's in the trailer.
And you see them encounter the mimic box, and it looks like it's a treasure chest that's come alive that could eat somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That's very easily explained within, you know, a second of seeing it. Or the gelatinous cube that ingests somebody, and then you go back a scene later, a couple beats later, and somebody's a dissolved skeleton inside the cube. You got a pretty good idea of how all that stuff works.
Right.
So it's easy to see what's on screen and identify the mechanics of it easily for the common, you know, everyday fantasy watcher. And I think part of it too is Dungeons and Dragons has been around for so long,
mm-hmm.
and has flavored so many other things that it's like the nuance of Dungeons and Dragons has seeped out into everyday fantasy culture or various other corners of the nerddom.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's easy to see, oh, that's where this reference comes from, or
mm-hmm.
or oh, this is, you know, like this is Waterdeep, or this is Baldur's Gate, you know, maybe key things that people have heard of before,
uh-huh.
that they're like, oh, that's where this comes from. It comes from the world of Dungeons and Dragons, or like Dragonlance, or, you know, things of that nature, or a bag of holding. You know, that's something that's referenced in other media or other games that's
yeah.
like drawn directly from Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, well, and all of that, but also what I thought, me being the more casual, I found this movie, Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves, to be very approachable, more so than I would have thought, because like, I'm a Star Wars fan. I'm a Marvel MCU fan. And with those longstanding franchises, there's a certain amount of deep lore that kind of comes with it. So I was kind of afraid that going into a Dungeons and Dragons movie, it's like, how lost am I going to be? How, you know, how well am I going to keep up? And good, fun stories are good, fun stories that can stand on their own. So for me, being a casual, I could clock that there were references to things that were references. Even though I didn't necessarily know what those references were, I could still keep up with the beats of the story.
Yeah.
It's not so deep cuts. Like, that's some of my criticism of, like, some of, like, the DC movies, the DC Comics movies, specifically, like, some of the Zack Snyder ones. Like, I think, like, there are things going on in, like, Batman v Superman : Dawn of Justice that if you don't have an encyclopedic knowledge of how the DC universe works, you're going to be lost. I never found myself lost watching Dungeons and Dragons. If anything, it makes me kind of want to look into stuff more to see what references and Easter eggs I missed. Because there was a lot of things where it's like I could hear reactions, like I could see reactions from you. I could hear reactions and chuckles from the audience that like I didn't get. But that's okay. I don't need to get everything because it doesn't influence my enjoyment of the movie. And again, I had a blast with this. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, they did a really good job of balancing that fan service element and then still having just like if they removed all the proper nouns from a lot of the stuff that was a reference to something else, you could easily interpret what's going on because they did a good job, like all movies should, of showing, not necessarily telling you what's going on. And don't get me wrong, there's exposition. There's plenty of, you know, some throwbacks, some references to stuff that's happened before, to maybe like complicated fantasy stuff that is enough of a, not necessarily like a trope, but it's familiar enough that you're like, okay, yeah, I get what's going on here.
Right,
And like that fan service level is good for the people that are big into Dungeons and Dragons, and which is a huge swath of people you got to think about because it's been around for 40 plus years now. I mean, it's what was it like late 60s, early 70s that Dungeons and Dragons is around. I mean, I played in the early 90s and that early 90s or like late 80s, no, early 90s, and that's like second edition.
Sure.
So they had multiple editions before that even. There's also references in things like Stranger Things.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And other shows that predate even my experience to Dungeons and Dragons that give you an idea of what was tackled in this movie, too. So
yeah, like a cultural osmosis type of thing. Because, I mean, again, there were tons of references that I didn't know what they were references to, but I did know that they were references to something. Let me ask you one other thing as we get closer to wrapping up. You know, I've talked a lot about comic book movies, Star Wars movies, things like that, where sometimes like the fan service is kind of like suffocating, like it's like too much, you know, weighed down with Easter eggs. So I have kind of like a two-part question. One, do you feel that the fan servicey stuff, like the references, was exactly what you were looking for as a fan? Or is it something more where like they're just throwing references in their wholesale just to throw in references, almost like in a condescending kind of way? Let me clarify a little further. Like I can't watch Big Bang Theory anymore. I find it condescending. Because like they're putting references in there just for the sake of having references in there. So which side of the reference scale would you say that Dungeons and Dragons Honor Among Thieves sits?
To start out, like the beginning half of the movie is pretty well free, not free, but it's pretty easy. And then as they go along, they sort of ramp up some of the details and those very specific like proper noun. Known D&D, well, deep cut D&D references that, you know, they mention the helm of whatever and the sword of whatever of slaying and things like that, you know, that's a deep cut even for me. And again, I'm like in the if there's 10 levels of D&D fantasy, D&D fandom, I'm on like 2 or 3.
Gotcha.
But still, I have enough knowledge through other, you know, fantasy works that I get it and that I've seen it around enough. But by the end of the movie, they shoehorned in a couple of things in there.
Yeah.
But still, at the end of the day, fun movie, funny again.
Yeah.
Like, I absolutely love it. I had a great time.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And I think to close out on that would be the right way to look at it. Because to me, it feels like wisely, it has a Marvel MCU sensibility to it. It's light on its feet, has a good sense of humor, has good-natured characters, And it's just a fun time. And I would also say that while this movie is PG-13 and there are sequences of fantasy violence, I wouldn't say that there's anything that's too intense for, say, like teenagers.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's like, you know, somebody that's shown putting in goo and getting melted down to like a cartoonish looking skeleton or whatever. But like, I mean, I think I saw more intensely violent stuff in like Shazam Fury of the Gods. There's some like scary looking monsters that are like, you know, impaling people and like throwing people off of buildings and stuff. Some kind of like weirdly intensely scary stuff that doesn't tonally match. Here, since it is in a fantasy world, I'm avoiding using the word like safe, but like, I mean, I would take my nephew to this with no problem, and he's 8. And I think 8-year-olds would like this, and it's not too scary and intense. So for me, it's kind of for, you know, like it's for fans, it's for casuals, it's for teenagers, it's for younger kids that can handle more mature movies. It's kind of for everybody. And I didn't even get a chance to mention the cast. I mean, Chris Pine is a freaking charm machine. If you're a fan of Chris Pine and like his portrayal of Captain Kirk, he's terrific in it. I found Michelle Rodriguez to be delightful in this movie as well. I'm very hot and cold with her, but like I thought having her as kind of like the strong arm type character was kind of a change of pace for her. And I thought that she was pretty good as well. I don't particularly like Justice Smith, but I thought he was the right actor for this right role of, like, you know, Simon, the would-be sorcerer.
He's great in that.
Add some fun to it. Hugh Grant, on the other hand, is having like a Hugh Grantissance here. He knows exactly what movie he's in, and he is chewing the scenery like so much succulent ham. He's terrific in this.
A Hugh Grantissance.
Yeah. Oh, you like that?
he really. It was like they wrote the role for him. It felt
very much so.
Either that, or he went in and you know, doctored some of the lines a little bit and to make it a little more Hugh Grant than was originally written. But actually, two of the guys that wrote this, mm-hmm. John Francis Daly, you know who that is?
I don't.
He's a character from the Bones franchise.
Oh, get out of here.
So you know the guy who plays Dr. Sweets, I think his name is?
Sure, yeah.
And he's from like Freaks and Geeks and stuff.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He has like two other writing credits and like one directorial credit, and then he directs this movie. And I guess he's like, he's been doctoring scripts for a little bit, and now this is his longtime brainchild that's come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to me. Also, one thing that I love about this movie,
sure,
they do not break the fourth wall.
Ah,
because
right.
The instinct to do that in fantasy style movies and nerdy properties is strong, man. It's really strong. Ever since Deadpool,
yeah,
people have been not afraid to break the fourth wall, and mm-hmm. they didn't do it this time. And I'm real pleased that they didn't.
Awesome.
Because it takes some restraint. It takes some restraint with a property like this. So you're gonna, there will be some moments that you will laugh out loud at jokes stacked on jokes, stacked on jokes. And there are also some moments of just dry one-liners that you're gonna love.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
The Paladin, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, what's that actor's name? He's the
Reggae
guy.
Reggae something?
Yeah, Reggae Jean Page or something. Dude from Bridgerton. I think that dude left Bridgerton to do this movie.
Killed it.
But yeah, no, terrific. With bone dry wit. And it's like, so you take like, that Chris Pine slippery charm and put it against this guy in this like bone dry earnestness. Some delightful scenes with them.
Absolute fusion between the two.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's some really, really fun performances. And again, it's a really fun time at the movies. So I hope you've enjoyed our chat, our early review of Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves. That is only in theaters coming up on March 31st. Sean, anything else while we got you here?
Go see it with a big crowd. Bring some friends, you know, where there's plenty of energy to go around, and I think you'll have maybe even an even better time than we did with, you know, with some jaded media people there.
Awesome. And don't forget, you can catch more shenanigans like this during the Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. My name is Big Mike. I am the producer of the show, and we'll see you at the movies.